Ms. Alner Helene and I am going to interview Dorothy Kipples this morning. Dorothy and Joe Kipples had Waterman's store in Moorhead a number of years ago. It was one of the prominent stores on Center Avenue. I knew Dorothy quite well because we were also Sir Optimist Club members at the same time. Dorothy, I would like you to tell us a little bit about your childhood and also what your maiden name was.
Well, my name is Dorothy Bogan Kipples. I was born in Grand Forks, North Dakota, July 26, 1914. We lived at Ardoch, North Dakota, a railroad and farming center, 25 miles north of Grand Forks.
Oh, that's interesting to me because I used to teach at Oslo, Minnesota. I was there for 3 years in the early 1940s. And I know it wasn't easy to get out of Oslo because we had no trains or no buses or anything. But I think we got to Ardoch once in a while.
Uh-huh. Well, the Sioux and the Great Northern Railroads both met in Ardoch, and that's why it was a prominent railroad town, and people did come there. But my recollections of Oslo, in the dead of winter, my dad would take a bobsled pulled by horses, drive to Oslo, cut and load up ice. These blocks of ice were packed in sawdust in the ice house on the farm. And we were the only ones in miles who had an ice box and could make iced tea and ice cream. My parents were Irene Tracy and George Bogan. They were of Irish descent. Their grandparents came over from Ireland, settled in eastern Canada for some years, then migrated to the Dakotas. My father owned a general store in Ardoch. It was struck by lightning and burned to the ground when I was about a year old. He then took over my grandfather's farm. I had one sister, Lucille, Mrs. James Gerlach, and I have two brothers, Thomas of Fargo and Robert of Gaylord, Michigan. We had a happy childhood, never much money, but lots of relatives and lots of fun. My first 8 years of school took place in a country school, one teacher, started the fire in the morning, did the janitor work, and taught 8 grades. I was ready for high school, and I was sent to St. James Academy in Grand Forks. It was a boarding school, and there had been rumors that because of the decline in enrollment, the Ardoch school might close, so that's why my folks did not send me there. I had never been away from home, and it was a lonesome time. Many tears shed. They were really years of insecurity and fear, but I did graduate as salutatorian in my class. After graduation, my parents had moved to Moorhead a year before this. I came home and enrolled at the Interstate Business College in Fargo. Graduated and worked at Dennis Furs for a short time, then at National Securities in Fargo for 5 years. I married Joseph Kipples on November 10th, 1937, St. Joseph's Church in Moorhead.
I'm interested in knowing how you met Joe.
Well, Joe had attended St. John's University in Collegeville. He came home to help his dad when his mother died. And he took over the duties of training and scheduling altar boys for the masses at St. Joe's Church in Moorhead. My brother Bob was an altar boy, and he was called on much more than his share. And Joe didn't call on the phone. He came to the house. Took a while, but he finally got around to asking for a date. A drive to Detroit Lakes on a Sunday afternoon. Joe was the son of Martha and Bruno Kipples. They came from Germany and were married in St. Paul. Bruno worked as brewmaster for Smith Brewery there. Later, he moved to Glendon and homesteaded in the Spring Prairie Township. After about 5 years, he came to Moorhead and went into the building business. In 1915, he purchased the Moorhead Laundry from the Zeller brothers.
Where was this laundry located?
Well, it was on 5th Street, off 1st Avenue North, over the railroad tracks, and on the banks of the Red River. In 1918, Joseph Trichler joined him as a partner. And Mr. Kipples also operated Fargo Moorhead's only slaughterhouse, and that was located below the hill there on 5th Street. And rather interesting, all the cogeying of meat for the Red River Jewish population And there were a good number of Jewish people in Fargo at that time. It was done here in the slaughterhouse. Martha and Bruno had 5 children. The oldest boy died when a baby, Joseph of Detroit Lakes, John of Moorhead, Mary Reynolds, East Grand Forks, and Bruno Jr., who died in 1984. Mr. Kipple Sr. died in 1940. Martha had preceded him in death. For the first 5 years of our marriage, Joe worked at the laundry, and in addition, he and his sister Mary leased and operated the shoe department in Waterman's, a store on Center Avenue owned by Mr. B.H. Waterman.
Now, who were the Watermans? I don't remember them.
Mr. Waterman and his wife had lived in Menominee, Wisconsin. He owned a store there. He turned that store over to his daughters, and then he opened a store in Fargo, but he saw more opportunity in Moorhead. There wasn't a large store in Moorhead at that time, so he moved over to Moorhead around 1940 and moved into the location there on Center Avenue where our store was. And one evening in January of 1954, Mr. Waterman called and wanted to meet Joe the following evening. And Joe came home with astonishing news. Mr. Waterman had decided to retire and wanted Joe and I to have the business. He wanted only the price of the inventory at cost to be paid in monthly installments. And it was a chance of a lifetime. Young people do not get those opportunities today very much. Because we had less than $5,000 in cash, no experience in merchandising, but with lots of ambition, we took over the Waterman store on Valentine's Day of 1944.
How did you finance this? This must have been very difficult.
It was. But the financial institutions in Moorhead were very, very good to us. And they were all through the years. We borrowed a lot of money we had to our inventory as we grew. I don't know what our high inventory mark was, but it was a tremendous amount. I often used to say that if I ever came to a place where I didn't owe anyone a penny, it would be the happiest day of my life. And you know, Eleanor, I'm there now.
Well, good enough. I'm glad to hear that.
In the store, Mr. Waterman had operated the dress and coat departments, millinery, and the beauty shop. And he leased out 5 departments in the store. I think there that he had overextended himself too. With 2 stores, he could not afford to stock them all. There came into the leasing. The laundry, hosiery, and sportswear department was owned by Catherine and Ella, Mrs. J. Kiefer. Yardage and accessories by Elizabeth Rimley. Children's wear, Bertha Nocken. And the shoe department owned by Mary and Joe Kipples. We took over during the war years. Merchandise was on allotment, and our allotments were small due to the fact that business had been deteriorating for Mr. Waterman. He had not been well. And then because of the boom in business, because of the war, it all left us wanting for goods to sell. So we scrounged the market and we begged for merchandise. Many times we drove to Minneapolis or St. Paul in the early morning, loaded the car, and back that night. At that time there were many good coat, dress, and children's wear manufacturers in St. Paul and Minneapolis. They've left there now. Mm-hmm. I guess because they can get... The wages are high in Minneapolis. It's an expensive town and to live in, and they could get cheaper help in the South.
Yes.
So there's very little left in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Did Joe enjoy the buying trips you went on?
No, he wouldn't even come. Didn't care for it. He helped with buying the shoes, and in shoes, the salesman always came to the store. Mm-hmm. He took care of personnel problems, most of the promotions, and the building itself took a lot of time. There were a lot of offices and so on. You know, when I think of it now, he would come down the day that I was coming home and ride home with me. That was his...
Come to Minneapolis.
Contribution to the market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You did most of your buying in Minneapolis, I suppose.
I did a lot of my buying in Minneapolis. We bought some in the store. Salesmen did come to the store, but I preferred buying at the markets. And we used to bring girls in with us, like the key girl in each department. And there were, in those days, we had the grand old Red River train. And during the market weeks in Minneapolis, there would be a girl on that train most of the time. They would come in, stay for a day, go home, and another one would come in. About once a year, we did make the Chicago market. Mm-hmm. But we preferred Minneapolis. Everything was there, and it was handier.
Very interesting, I think. And you also did a lot of, you sold hats, and what were some of the merchandise or the things that you sold? You sold children's clothes and hats and so forth?
Yeah, we had a beautiful children's department. Mm-hmm. We really did.
Some of your hats were quite reasonable. I remember you said something about you sold hats for children for $1.95 and $2.98 and so forth. But speaking of hats, I would like to tell a little story about Dorothy. One evening it was a beautiful spring evening, and I decided I was going to Waterman's to do some shopping. Dorothy had just received a bunch of hats. They were spring hats. And some lady came in and wanted to buy a hat. So she put her in this chair, and it was most interesting to watch Dorothy sell hats to this lady. First they tried on one hat. No, they didn't think that was the right hat. They tried on another one, and the way she handled the lady in the hats was really something. I was very fascinated and stood there and watched her for quite some time, and I decided that she was really a pro at selling hats. It was most interesting.
You know, I learned that, and I used it all through the years in my merchandising. We had a millinery woman. We inherited her from Mr. Waterman. Her name was Selma McCartney. She had two sisters, the Hagen girls, and they worked one at Moody's in Fargo, and I can't remember where the other one, but those three girls were all millinery women, and they made hats in the old days, started from scratch. And we had Selma, and she treated a hat, it didn't make any difference. She used to say, it doesn't make any difference if it's a $3.95 hat or a $50 hat. You treat it gently. You treat it as though it were something very precious. Mm-hmm. And through the years, it applied to all merchandise. And you know, today, if clerk and you see them do it, roll up a dress or something and stick it in a bag, it's still, I just can hardly stand it.
Yeah, I know that's...
It makes a difference, it was interesting when you said that, because I often said this about Mac. She would fondle the hats almost.
Mm-hmm. I never forgot that, and I watched other people sell hats afterwards, and it really fascinated me.
Well, how about your fringe benefits? Did you have some fringe benefits? Well, you know, at that time, fringe benefits were not so popular, especially in our trade. But we did. We paid half the girls' hospital insurance. It was a group policy. Of course, we paid for all holidays. They had a two-week vacation. And one of the things that really added up, we sold them their merchandise for 10% above what it cost us.
Very nice. How about unions? Did you have anything to do with unions?
No, we were not unionized. The union tried, but our employees declined joining. The unions were not strong in retailing in Moorhead then. And we did appreciate the fact that our girls didn't feel they needed them. We worked hard, and our help worked hard. But business was booming. In rapid succession, we bought out the Remley and Kiefer departments. The original Waterman store was 50 by 100. About this time in the early 50s, we purchased the building from the National Loan and Improvement Company, a local company. We moved the children's department to the corner, which formerly housed Woolworths and later National Tea. The building consisted of this portion in Waterman's, plus the Moorhead Clinic in the back, Larson Hardware, and upstairs offices housing William R. Tillotson Lawyer, Murphy Finance, Martin Johnson Insurance, Wayne Peterson, N.I. Johnson, Garrity Law Offices, Steening Olson and Thysel Law Firm, Freeman Tailoring, Erdahl Agency, and Dr. Harvey Munson Dentist.
One would never realize there were that many offices up there.
I'm surprised. It was a large building.
Yes, it surely was. Then there was, at one time, there was an opera house somewhere in Moorhead. Do you know anything about that?
Mm-hmm. The old Moorhead Opera House had been housed across the front of the building. Some maybe will remember the large, high, arched windows in the front. And I understand it was a very popular place. There were some grand affairs took place up there. Because Moorhead, I guess, in the olden days, was a very social town. And
I have seen pictures that look
very beautiful gowns and so on. Then in the early 60s, we acquired the space occupied by Larson Hardware in order to expand our sportswear department. Sportswear was becoming a big thing. We continued to grow, and Moorhead and the surrounding territory were good to us. We appreciated it all.
How many employees did you have? You had some great help, I know. And do you know how many employees you had?
We had 25 salespeople, around that, full-time all the time. We had 1.5 girls in the office and a janitor. The office helped take care of the day-to-day bookkeeping, and I did the key set of books and the accounts payable. And we did have great help. We really did.
Yes, I knew some of your girls, and I thought they...
They were helpful.
Yes, I'm sure they were.
Mm-hmm. A large portion of our business was charge account.
Yes, I'm sure.
We felt that it was extremely good for business, and we lost very little for the volume that we did. We were lenient. We did not... There were no coverage, no charges for late payments. And people would just charge. They'd charge their spring wardrobe, and then about Christmas they'd get paid up, or maybe wouldn't be paid up, and come in again. And as long as they kept paying, we did not bother them. In later years, as conditions changed and total volume increased, we did hire a lady part-time to help with collections. And I think she's well-remembered in Moorhead, Rose McNamara. And she was truly an artist at the collection business. Never did I hear a customer get angry with Rose. Even when the customer would say, I'll bring a payment in, Rose would call her up on the phone, she'd say, the customer would say, I'll bring a payment in tomorrow. And Rose would reply, you know, my car's right out here and I'm going close to your house. I'll be by in just a few minutes and I'll pick up that payment. Would that be okay? Invariably the customer would say, fine. And Rose got by with that.
Very good psychology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, in your store, you also had some name brand merchandise, I know. Do you want to talk a little about that?
Well, we did buy some famous name brands. In those days, Janssen was strong. Red Fern Coats out of St. Louis, they were beautiful. Cinderella and Annette dresses for children. Fieldcrest. Red Goose shoes. And we did buy these, but we especially liked and looked for smaller factories. The price of the merchandise was lower. Transportation many times was not as high. We didn't have to pay for these huge companies' advertising allotments. And we had merchandise in our stores that other stores in the area didn't have because it was all hand-picked. And I guess as a buyer, I was very price conscious, maybe too much so.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that that was what we needed in Moorhead was a moderately priced store, and we tried to keep it that way.
Well, I think that was very good. I remember your store having nice merchandise, and we used to go in quite often. It was very handy, too, right on Center Avenue.
I think we had accomplished a lot, but then came the blast, and that was urban renewal. It had been talked about, but we just didn't think it could happen, that a few men could decide to tear down almost a complete downtown business section of a city. Urban renewal had been decided upon. Then it went over a period of years We were told it would start in a few months. A little repair or remodeling was done in the entire downtown area. Joe and I had plans for renovating the exterior of our building and installing an elevator for our upstairs tenants. Now these tenants were moving out. They were tired of the indecision, and other spaces were available. Business was suffering in most all downtown Moorhead, and in 1967 we were told we would have to evacuate and given a date. On the day before we were to have signed the transfer of property to HRA, the building burned to the ground.
Isn't it unusual that that store burned and your parents' store burned in our dock too? That's unusual.
Yes, it was unusual. And a fire like that is just something you never forget. And I think my parents, that's why they felt so badly when they saw us go through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you do not forget.
I'll never forget that fire either. That was terrible.
Well, it started on Halloween in 1967 at 4 in the afternoon. And our hold-up alarm went off at the police station. Two patrolmen came to investigate and at the time found nothing, left. And they had just made it outside the door, and Joe called them. Smoke was coming from the basement. About 5:30, the firemen thought they had it under control. But no. By morning, it was gone. No one can realize, I don't think, what you go through in a fire. But you also can't know all the support, the calls and letters we received from our people in the Fargo-Moorhead area. And I still meet people who say, I miss Waterman's. And it makes me feel good.
Yes, I should say.
We both love Moorhead and its people. In 1970, we sold our house in Moorhead and remodeled our lake cottage on Big Floyd Lake into a year-round home. We retired. But after 2 years of retirement, we purchased a small women's shop in Detroit Lakes and named it The Corner. We operated this store for 10 years. It was an easygoing operation in comparison to our large Waterman store. We had four congenial employees at the corner, and they'd go along with my old-fashioned method of selling. Know your merchandise, respect your customers, and above all, give them all the help you can. The customer's entitled to it. In 1982, I retired again, and at this time I was ready for it. We are both enjoying our lake home, our three beautiful daughters, Kathleen Rudd Chapman, a master drug addiction counselor in Williston, North Dakota, Patricia Colness, adult education director in Barnesville, and Margaret, Mrs. Gary Mowry, and she has a small business and retail business in Fargo. We have 10 grandchildren, Laurel, Joe, and Patrick Rudd, Cassandra Coldes Hilbueno, Mary and Terry Colness, and Laura and Andrea Mowry. Three of these are in college, four in high and junior high school, and Cassie is a housewife. And we're kept busy. One of the things I didn't mention in Moorhead is our affiliation and the places that we... the things that we did in Moorhead. And a few of them, Joe served as president of Rotary for a couple of terms. For 5 years, he served on the retail division of the Chamber of Commerce. And those were the days that Moorhead was really struggling to get more businesses. I guess they still are, but I mean, it was very hard at that time. I was active in Seroptimists, a women's classified service club, and it was the first women's classified club in Moorhead. I was their first president. It was organized by the Minneapolis Club in 1949. One of my most exciting projects was our Greater Moorhead Days. And our dreams were, oh, rather wild, but we carried them out. And my big thing was the fashion show. Bea Volker owned a dance studio in Moorhead. And we would get together and we would plan this as a, it was a production we made out of it. Everything was done according to our theme, and her dancers added much to it. It was a big thing. It was a big promotion and something that we never dreamed would get as large. When we started the fashion shows, they were held in the Top of the Mart FM Hotel. Then we moved out to Concordia. We had one in the Moorhead Armory. We had one at Concordia College. In the Moorhead Armory, we had many, but we started with one show, an evening show, and we packed them in, so we had to add so we had two shows, an afternoon show and an evening show. We had Phyllis Diller one year. She came and she modeled, mm-hmm. bought her famous chicken with her. Another thing that happened that I'd like to tell was Joe Faust used to help us. Briggs did all the decorating for us, and they were so good to us. But anyway, this time we had decided that we would open the show with Lawrence Welk's Champagne Music. So the manager of Woolworth's, Norm House, rented us a bubble-making machine. So we started the show out with these dancers on the stage and the bubbles and the champagne music, never thinking that this soap and the bubbles would make the floor slippery. And the poor dancers. We had to pull the curtain after that act and wipe up the floor. And I'm sure Joe Faust would remember that. But I don't know. Did you have anything else, Eleanor?
Well, I was going to say, would you have done anything different if you had known now what you know now? Is there anything you would have done differently?
Yes, I think we would have. We would not have expanded as rapidly as we did. We just never got one thing done, and we took over more space and more building. And I feel that in doing this, we lost a lot of the enjoyment of our family. We purchased our lake home during that time, but we didn't have time. Sunday morning, we'd go down and spend a few hours. Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't want to go through that again if we had done it at a, not been so ambitious, put it that way. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed every minute of it. I loved merchandising, sure. And I loved selling as much as buying.
Oh, I think so, too. I think you enjoyed every bit of that. You did say comment about that you felt that Moorhead had been very good to you. Did you want to say something about the things that Moorhead has done for you that you felt was nice?
I think all the great friends we've made in Moorhead, the schools in Moorhead were very good to our children, and we appreciated that. It was just an easy life for our children. It was an easy place to bring up children. Mm-hmm. We were within walking distance of our store. And, you know, the kids spent a lot of time there. And, yes, Moorhead has given us a lot of friends. Our family. And we all appreciate being allowed to record this for your Heritage Commission. I think it's a great project, this one you're working on, Eleanor. We have tried to give you an idea of what our family has given to Moorhead and the lives we've touched. And I guess most of all, what Moorhead and its people have given to us.
Well, I think you did an excellent interview for us, Dorothy. I really appreciate your help, and I know that this is going into archives, so we want to remember all the things that Watermans and you people did for Moorhead.
As I say, it was interesting, and I tried to bring in a lot of the names that I know people will know the old names in Moorhead.
Yes,
because
I think
who we were. We were close to a lot of those people.
Mm-hmm. That was.
And I thank you, and I thank the Heritage Commission.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, Dorothy.
You're welcome.